Hello and welcome to our 2024 Salt and Light Hour Christmas special. I'm Deacon Pedro, and sitting here with me is Ali Aliyah. Ali, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's so good to have you with us on this special Christmas program.
It is so great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
So maybe some of our listeners, I mean, if they've listening to the program for a long time, they probably recognize your name. Ali Aliyah, singer-songwriter from... You're still in Wisconsin? Can I say you're from Wisconsin?
Yeah, I actually just moved back. I was in Duluth, Minnesota for a while, and then I moved to Eagle River, Wisconsin.
That's right. And that's the other part that I think people might remember, because when you lived in Duluth, you were working with Father Mike Schmitz.
Yes.
And
yes.
so...
Yeah, I still work closely with him, depending on like the events, but now I just live in a different town.
Yeah, that's great. So because I remember you telling us once about the, I think it was a pilgrimage to the Holy Land that you were doing with Father Mike.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So if our listeners kind of remember all those things, that's who it is. It's Ali Aliyah. She's the singer-songwriter, the indie folk singer-songwriter that's friends with Father Mike Schmitz. And in fact, one of the songs that we're going to share today is a song that you co-wrote with Father Mike.
Yeah, we can talk about it a little later, but yeah, he had asked me to write a song to go along with his Advent series. So that's the.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to hear it, and then we'll get a chance to talk about it as well. And we're going to get a chance to play two of your other, so three songs in total. So I'm looking forward to that. Ali, every year what we do, so as you know, our show has different segments, different contributors. And so every Christmas special, we feature three of our longer term contributors. Jillian Cantor, she has what we call, it's a parenting segment, but she calls it What I Learned from My Kids. And so she learns lessons from her kids about her relationship with God. And it's such a neat little segment. Yeah, it is beautiful. And she's also always very humble about it. And I just think that it's the best segment ever, because she's got all these really deep insights that she learns from her kids. She's got six children, ages, I don't know, I think the oldest one is 14 and the youngest one is maybe six or seven. So that's coming up. Jillian Cantor with What I Learned from My Kids. She will have an Advent or Christmas lesson that she would have learned this year. And then we're going to be speaking with Mark Matthews. So Ali, Mark is, we call him our undercover Hollywood missionary, because he moved to Hollywood, to LA, to work at one of the animation companies. He's a computer guy, animator. And so while he was there, he met a lot of sort of Catholics, and they were doing a lot of just kind of like neat Catholic, underground Catholic stuff in Hollywood. And so he started the segment by telling us a lot of all these really neat sort of things that are happening in Hollywood that you'd never hear about. And the occasional request for prayers for specific actors or film productions or production companies. He recently has been doing a lot of work in artificial intelligence, actually. And that's something that he always wants to talk about. So I'm not sure what he's going to share with us today. Mark usually talks about the incarnation, so maybe he will be talking about the incarnation one more time this year. But there will be some sort of Christmas connection about tech or Hollywood or both. I'm not sure. So that's What's Good in Hollywood with Mark Matthews. And then we're going to be speaking with Sister Marie Paul Curley. And I know you're probably familiar with the Daughters of St. Paul. They're called the Media Nuns. And Sister Marie Paul is our film reviewer, film expert. This year, Sister Marie Paul is going to talk to us about a mother and son film.
Very fun.
So that's Sister Marie Paul Curley with Windows to the Soul. So she'll find a movie and give us the window to the soul to the movie. So that'll be coming up right before we speak with you again, Ali. It'll be fun to spend a little more time with you just talking about growing up. I know that you're in the middle of a tour right now. Is it an Advent Christmas tour?
It is. Yes. It's a tour called Face to Face. So it goes along with the song that I just released
with Father Mike. I'm looking forward to talking about that and talking about kind of Christmas and Minnesota, yeah. Christmas in Wisconsin, which is further north than where I am. So anyway, so just a reminder, it's a busy weekend before Christmas. And actually, I haven't said Merry Christmas really, because I'm always one of these people. I don't know about you, Ali, but it's like, you don't. But we do spend all of December saying Merry Christmas to people. So right. The fact, it's not like we can't say Merry Christmas during Advent. Mm-hmm. So technically, the program is airing today, December 21st and 22nd, before Christmas. So it's still Advent, but we're very close to Christmas. So I think we can start saying Merry Christmas. But if people are busy with Christmas preparations and or whatever they're doing, and they're not able to listen to the full program, you're driving, you're shopping, I'm not sure what you're doing today. Just remember that you can always go to our website, slmedia.org/podcast. That's where you can listen to all our programs. And you can also subscribe to the Salt and Light Hour Catholic podcast, wherever you get podcasts. And now we have a new Salt and Light Hour, we have a new Salt and Light Plus app, the Salt and Light app, where you can listen to the Salt and Light Hour there, as well as watch all the programs that we produce for Salt and Light Television. And that's a free app at your app store. So there's no excuses for people listening to the program. But this is one of my favorite shows because people can just kind of sit back, bake their Christmas cookies or whatever they're doing, and listen to the program. And today we have some really good music by Ali Aaliyah. So Ali, it's so good to have you with us today. And we're going to start with one of your songs. Maybe you can give us a quick introduction. This is Solstice, based on John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Do you want to introduce the song?
I would love to. Yeah. So Solstice, I wrote it a few years ago on Christmas Eve, and I was really just reflecting on the mysteries of this time of year. In particular, I was reflecting on John chapter 1, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it, and how that relates to Christmas this time of year, because there are different origin stories of where Christmas came from, but one that I resonated with was that it was a holiday celebrated by all different cultures, and even like in the pagan culture, this time of year, people recognize that this is the longest, hardest, darkest time of year. And this winter solstice was this day that everyone came to celebrate because tomorrow, the next day, the light was going to start raining over the world again. Every day was going to start being a little bit brighter and a little bit brighter. And so then when Christians came along and said, "Oh, this is so good. Everybody is celebrating this time of year." And we recognize that the light of the world that you are celebrating is actually Jesus. Like this amazing, beautiful time of celebrating with your families and this festival of lights shining in the darkest times of life, that is Jesus coming in to bless us. And so that goes along with John chapter 1, which is what this song is about, Solstice.
So here is Ali Aaliyah with her song, Solstice.
Tell me something like why the grass always is greener. On the far side of the mountain where the sun seems to shine. Hanging in the avenue, your street shoes get a bit dirty. Yeah.
I believe that it would be the time I really saw you.
That was Ali Aaliyah with her single Solstice. We're going to be speaking with Ali Aaliyah later on in the show. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this is a special Christmas edition of the Salt and Light Hour. You can learn more about Salt and Light Media and watch all our programs online at slmedia.org and also on our new Salt and Light Plus streaming app. And now it's time for What I Learned from My Kids with Jillian Cantor. Jillian, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. And
happy Advent.
Well, I think we say this every single Christmas special.
Well, it's a little earlier. This year's early. This year's early. But we spent all of Advent saying Merry Christmas to people. So Merry Christmas. True.
Merry Christmas to you. And I hope you've had a beautiful Advent.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good Advent. Yeah, there's lots of new adventures this Advent. And you've been learning some lessons from your kiddies?
Yeah, we're going to concentrate on something that's very familiar in the Advent season, and that is the power of yes.
Ooh, fiat.
Exactly. My two oldest girls have joined a new club at school, and it is called the Fiat Club. And I think it is the best, most clever, and also deep acronym ever. It stands for Faith in Action Team. So as you are faith in action, it's your little yeses accumulating into this beautiful club of, just imagine this, all these little girls. And it is all girls, not by rule, but just by happenstance. That's who the club appealed to. So that's who it is. But imagine all these girls making their little yeses. First of all, to join the club. And then to do whatever it is that the supervising teacher has asked of them, to help with liturgies, to help with the younger students, visit nursing homes, whatever it is, they're putting their faith in action, all because of their openness, their willingness, their little fiats. Mm-hmm. So it's very sweet. And I'm just really happy that the girls have been doing this and the school is supporting this and has come up with this club. Mm-hmm. But so this club and the name of it and the work of it has really aligned with the direction that my Advent took. And that was just a lot of thinking and considering and writing about Mary, and just who she is. And I think, although I already knew it, I think it was solidified to me that she is an example and a model to all women in all manner of things. We can be fooled by the artistic renderings of her, that she was just very pale and delicate and frail, but I mean, she was a beautiful soul, a beautiful woman, and we can see it in that imagery. But I think the thing that we may not always focus on is her courage and her compassion and her service. We know of her obedience and her determination, her boldness, joyfulness. I mean, she's all of it. And never will there ever need to be any other woman that needs to stand out as a role model, because we have it all. We have it all in Mary. And there's been, obviously, during Advent, just a number of lovely feasts that bring her to our attention, such as the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe, and the gospel readings on those days that focus on her fiat. So let it be done to me according to your word. And I've also been doing some spiritual reading during this Advent, and one of the books was The Read of God by Carol Hauslander. Mm-hmm. And in reading that, I've just been totally blown away by the ideas and concepts of her character and what her yes truly meant. And I'll read a passage to you, but what I think about it is just amazing that her yes was not only a yes for the moments of Christ's birth or life, or even the moments that were directly related to her, but to all things. Her yes was to all things, for all men, for all eternity. So the quote is, "When Our Lady stood up, a queenly child, and uttered her fiat to the angel of God, her words began to make Christ's voice. The first words of consent had already spoken Christ's last words of consent." And this is where I start to cry. "I commit myself to you. Do whatever you like with me," were already spoken by Christ in her. They were one and the same with his, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Mm-hmm. And that just knocked me over. It's the idea and the weight of it, that our yes of the past or even of the present is a yes for all eternity, for all the things that are to come, that proceed from the thing that you first said yes to. And it's never just isolated to a time or a place. I think what it brought me back to was when I was pregnant with Joseph, our oldest, and I'm borrowing this term from another reflection that I read, but I was pregnant with purpose, not just a baby, but this baby's entire life, this other creation of God for whom he had a plan and a purpose. I was carrying that for God. And it just put motherhood to me. It just put that in a whole new perspective, that I was saying yes to every single moment of not only parenting, but of their entire lives, all of my kids, their entire lives, their futures, their possibilities, their future families. And at the same time, knowing all the while that they're God's, they're not mine, they're God's. They are his beloved children with whom he is well pleased. So I know that my theology is messy and my understanding is limited, and probably my communication of this in this very moment is lacking. But what I'm really in awe of here in this reflection of Mary is just the power of a yes and what it unleashes. And there's this other quote, and again, it'll make me cry, but it brings that idea about the generational, the yes and how it proceeds through the generations. Very seldom do we think about the mystery of all the years and all the people and all the gathered memories, both of individuals and races, which have made us individually what we are. Our life has been given to us from generation to generation, existing in each age in the keeping of other human beings, tended in the Creator's hands, a little flame carried through darkness and storm, burning palely in brilliant sunlight, shining out like a star in darkness. Life in the brave keeping of love, given from age to age in a kiss. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me just, I don't know, maybe the quote is better digested when it's read and reread by someone themselves rather than just me blurting it out to someone. But I read that and just totally overwhelmed that my life and purpose began way before my actual birth. The life of my children started way before there was a me and a David. Mm-hmm. It's always been in our family tree. Mm-hmm. And not just a couple of generations back, but the roots extending back to the beginning of time. Because that's when we began. That's how long we've been carried. Physically, we began with Adam and Eve. And spiritually, eternally, we began with Mary's yes, with what she unleashed with the power of her yes. So just, I guess, maybe relating it back to family and life. My aunts on my dad's side are planning a family reunion next summer, and they've given us each jobs to prepare. So my sister and I are working on the family tree book. And so as I've been typing out all these names and birth dates, realizing that all, whatever it is, 140 some people that are in this 3-4 generational family tree, we all came from the same people. We are all different. We have different interests, personalities, destinations, futures. Just, we're all very different and unique and lovely people. But the thing that binds us is that we all came from Pat and Frances Jurdat. We mm-hmm. were all carried by them. Mm-hmm. And so for each one of us, the same is true, that we have been all carried by Mary. She said yes and has carried each one of us. So I hope those ramblings and those tears, I guess, have just offered a bit of hope and purpose to someone today, that you are here because of the yes. You have been carried. You have been carried over generations, and you carry with you so much more. So that is the power of a yes.
Amen. Wow. Thank you for that beautiful, lots to think about there, lots to unpack. But
so that was my Advent. That's what I was thinking about.
That's where you're thinking about pregnant with purpose.
Yeah.
That's the power of yes. And that means that everybody has purpose. Nobody is an accident.
Yeah. I love the imagery of us being carried. Mm-hmm. Flame carried from generation to generation until it was our time to emerge. But likewise, we are carrying someone else generation to generation. It is all directly related, connected. We're all connected and we all have purpose. And it's just beautiful, a beautiful, intricate, lovely, ginormous family tree.
Yes, it is. And it's good to be part of that tree. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jillian. Thank you for that. Maybe if you can email me those quotes, and I'll put them on our website, because I think some of our listeners might want to go back and find them and read them.
Yes. You need to reread some more just to find the depth of it all. Yeah.
So we'll put those on our website. Jillian, Merry Christmas to you.
And same to you.
And Merry Christmas to David and Joseph, Henry, Annie, Clara, Jane, and Leo.
Thank you very much.
Coming up is Sister Marie Paul Curley with Windows to the Soul, so stay tuned.
I'm Sister Marie Paul Curley of the Daughters of St. Paul, and you're listening to the Salt and Light Hour with Deacon Pedro.
You're listening to the Salt and Light Hour 2024 Christmas Special. I'm Deacon Pedro. You can email me, pedro@slmedia.org. And now it's time for What's Good in Hollywood, with a Hollywood undercover missionary, Mark Matthews.
Hello, Pedro.
Hello, Mark.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Yes, happy Advent.
Yes. Well, I just about said Merry Christmas to you, but that's very liturgically correct.
I've been saying the whole show, I've been saying that, yeah, but we spend all December saying Merry Christmas to people at the grocery store and at the mall. So we can say Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Or so, Merry Advent.
Or Merry Advent. Or both. And you're joining us from Saskatoon this year.
Yes, I'm home for the holidays this year. So -29°C. It's a little bit of a shock to my system coming from Los Angeles.
That's not sunny LA. Okay, so you're really feeling the incarnation.
The incarnation. So as you know, it's my Christmas tradition every year to talk about the incarnation.
Yeah.
Incarnation being this idea that God chose a particular time, a particular place, and a particular location to reveal his infinite self to our finite world. And of course, well, this is the very beginning of this revelation is his birth, which is what we celebrate at Christmas. And it's just such a huge topic. I have to talk about it every year. And I love talking about it. Yeah. And it's something that Christians are called to do. To give love a particular form, and it's ultimately it's what artists are doing. As an artist is giving an idea or a feeling a particular form, and it's why I've talked about it so much for Hollywood filmmaking.
Okay, I love that, and I'm just going to repeat it because I've never heard anybody say that, to give love a particular form. I love that. I love that idea of incarnation. So how are we called to give, or what are some examples incarnating love? Yes.
Yeah. So two examples are cultural trends I want to point out this year. And the first of these is what I call the maker culture. I don't know if you've heard of this.
No.
But it's really hip in Silicon Valley circles and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's renewed interest in crafting and customizing technology for ourselves. So people are really into 3D printers and these things called Arduino microcontrollers. Okay. There's this like super easy to program electronic board, that can take in sensors and turn on lights and all this kind of stuff. And, kids are learning how to do these things. Like high schools have robotics clubs. And so I was a maker before it was ever cool.
Okay.
In fact, I was a maker when it was very uncool. I was kind of way before its time, as a geeky kid who loved tinkering. But it kind of surprises me that this has become so mainstream now. Like everybody's happy if their kid is in the robotics club. So I'm kind of like, why has this become so hip now? Well, I think one of these things is the economic benefit. Now that everybody has realized that all the high paying jobs are in tech, hey, making money and change the world is cool now, understandable.
Yeah.
That's potentially greed and pride, which we want to watch out for, but that doesn't mean that we should turn away from it. We have to remember that Joseph and Jesus were carpenters. They were the makers of their day. Yeah. They probably would have had a 3D printer if they were born today. So making, creating is a form of incarnating, and something that is ultimately good when done for the right reasons, done out of love, hopefully.
Yeah, true. Beautiful. So, yeah, of course.
So that's one interesting cultural trend.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is is video creation of this huge trend. I'd have talked about it before, of user-generated video content. And I'm mainly thinking of platforms like YouTube and TikTok,
yep.
though maybe not TikTok for much longer. The US government is planning to shut it down
in
January.
See.
But I see users creating series on YouTube that are actually better than what I see on TV. And some of these like short form videos you find on TikTok are truly entertaining, hilarious, well acted pieces of video. And I love these ones where it's one person playing multiple characters and personalities, and they're playing off each other. And that takes some real skill to put something together like that, to write it, have some acting, edit it together with the right timing. And some people might see this as the death knell of society, like, oh, we're going to distract ourselves to death. And, you know, I like watching them a little bit too much. But I might also say, hey, maybe we're not taking this far enough. And what do I mean by that? And I mean that I've talked many times about how our culture is lacking great works of film. And making a feature-length film is extremely hard. So I say we're not taking it far enough because we're not making full-length narrative feature films. We need beautiful, epic paintings, and people are making small postage stamps with crayons.
Right.
So I'd like to ask, like, what if Christians, what if 10% of all Christians had mastered video editing as well as they have writing? Like, we'd probably be drowning in more beautiful works of art. And so I kind of say, like, hey, if this is the way the world is, if this is what the world is paying attention to now, this is what we, how we should be learning to communicate. And yes, you have to be very cautious not to be motivated by greed and pride. Especially when you're on camera, pride is a very, or on the radio, pride is a very real, risk, but it shouldn't, fear shouldn't let us drive us away from it.
Absolutely.
And what should be motivating us, and this is what I alluded to earlier on, is it should be love.
Yeah.
And that love is a creative force. That for love to be made known, we have to incarnate. So we should be asking not what glory can this video or gadget bring myself, but how can it uplift those who see it and those who use this gadget that I make? And so I just, love requires incarnation. And there's so many infinite ways that that love can be made incarnate. And so I'm going to be a little bit whimsical. I'm going to say this year, it's like, well, how do you incarnate love? It's like, well, you know, just, I don't know, grab some crayons and start scribbling a drawing, you know, channel your inner child. It's part of the way God made us and the way that he made the world. So, you know, just create something for fun.
Absolutely. And it's a way that we are an image of God, the creator, who creates by loving. And when we love, we create. Yeah, absolutely.
He invites us to be co-creators.
Co-creators. And yes, I do think that we're going to, maybe a couple generations, people will be very fluent in video making. But let's not forget that we also need to stay fluent in writing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, writing is the predecessor to good video editing. Yeah,
good
for
writing,
sure.
Communication, language. Mark, thank you for this insight into incarnation. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a blessed end of the Advent season and a Merry Christmas.
I shall. You too. God bless.
What's Good in Hollywood with Mark Matthews, our undercover Hollywood missionary. You can follow him at HU Missionary. Coming up in our second half hour, Windows to the Soul with Sister Marie Paul Curley and a featured conversation with Ali Aliyah, and of course, more music. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Salt and Light Hour Christmas Edition Part 2. I'm Deacon Pedro. You can follow me and Salt and Light Media on your socials, and you can subscribe to this program anywhere you get your podcasts. And also listen to it on any voice-activated device. Just ask for the Salt and Light Hour Catholic Podcast. And now it's time for Windows to the Soul with Sister Marie Paul Curley. Sister Marie Paul, welcome to the Salt and Light Hour. It's good to see you again.
Thank you. It's good to be here as well.
And
it's I can't believe it's the end of Advent.
I know. I know. But it's been a good Advent. There's been lots of good adventures for me.
Yes.
You're on a little bit of a journey yourself.
Yeah, lots of good stuff happening. So
lots of good stuff.
It's
been a good Advent. And you have a film that I would not think that is a usual Christmas movie.
Yeah, you know, for Christmas, I usually pick, I like to pick, you know, a great Christmas film or fight it out with you over It's a Wonderful Life. And I almost was like, we should just really go point by point through It's a Wonderful Life some year.
Yeah.
But I decided, I saw a film and it made me think of the Nativity story in a different way. And I thought, you know what? It's a recent film. Let's look at it. It's called The Blitz. It is not really a family film. It is rated PG-13, just to put that out there. It is about a real historical event, although the characters are fictional. It's about the bombing of London and other cities of Great Britain during World War II, when Germany, the Nazis were basically bombing Great Britain. And they did that for a period of about 8 months. And for about 2 months, they bombed London straight for almost 60 days. Great parts of the city were really damaged. Lots and lots of civilians died. And so this story, that's the background of the story. The actual story, so the name of the movie is The Blitz. It is directed by Stephen McQueen. Saoirse Ronan plays a single mother named Rita, who has a child, George, who is biracial. If she sends him to the country, which a lot of parents were doing, to save him from the danger of being bombed during this time. And basically children had tags on them. They were loaded up in the train. If you've read the Narnia books, you're familiar with this scenario and or seen the Narnia movies. And so George gets extremely angry. He doesn't want to leave his mother. He's pretty young. I can't remember how old he is in the film, maybe 9. And he's played by a very brilliant Elliot Heffernan. I have to say, I think the film is Elliot's film all the way through. But he gets so angry at his mom, he won't say goodbye to her. He won't even look at her as he leaves. And then after the train is well out of the city, he jumps off the train to go back and to be with his mom. And so most of the movie is about little George going back into London while the Blitz is happening. You get this sense that it is happening like during these 60 days. Like there is bombings constantly. It looks like maybe one of the scenes is during the Great Fire towards the end of that time. So he is, he's a very resilient little boy, but the film has some, how do I say this? Dickensian, you know, it's got some nods to Charles Dickens because you're looking at war through a child's eyes. And I think that's what makes this film very powerful. I have to say, I'm not quite sure what it is about the film. I didn't find it a great film. It had all the elements, but I didn't find it a great film, but it has great moments where George runs into a character who you get the sense that that character is going to change his life. Like that's going to change him for the rest of his life. He's very vulnerable. He looks black. So he's experiencing racism as well as the dangers of war and being alone. He is taken advantage of at a certain point. As I said, it's not a feel good film. It's not my typical Christmas film, but there's really interesting parallels between the Nativity story and this story. There's a young child in great danger. There is a mother in a very difficult situation who's also very vulnerable. And there is a reference to the child being somewhat of a savior in the film. I don't want to give it anything away. And there's also some small references to religion. His mother entrusts, or Rita entrusts little George with a St. Christopher medal to keep him safe. There's good mention of the Golden Rule a few times. So there's definitely references in there, even though it's not an overtly religious story per se. Apart from truly showing some of the horrors of war. So as I said, it's not a feel-good Christmas movie, but if you want to see something a little deeper, if you want to delve into something that's got some historical basis, It is a good film to kind of provoke some thought and maybe some prayer about what Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus faced, at that first Christmas and those in the aftermath of that time. I also it was in the theaters. The Blitz was in the theaters for a very short theatrical run. It's currently on Apple TV, I believe. And when I was browsing Apple TV, I did run into, they've got the Christmas Brown, the Charlie
Charlie
Brown
Brown.
Christmas movies.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is great. And they also had another film that I hadn't run into, and I'm sorry that I hadn't recommended it or kind of brought it to others' attention last year. It won the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film, and it's listed with their holiday films this year. It's called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse. It's based on I guess it's a famous children's picture book, which I don't read. And it's snowing during the whole movie. So I think that's why they
Right.
put it with their holiday movies. But it's an animated short. It's delightfully done. If you're familiar with the picture book, I imagine the artist and the writer had something to do with the film. But there's a lot of mention. It's not a realistic story. It's not a religious story. But it's a beautiful story affirming the reality that all of us are loved, that kindness is maybe my favorite line. I'll just share my favorite line, so hopefully I won't spoil it. It comes early in the film. It's only 23 minutes. My favorite line is the little mole asks the little boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little boy says, "I want to be kind." And instead of saying, "I want to be a pilot," or "I want to be a whatever," I want to be kind. And
It's
that really
beautiful.
does kind of run through the little movie. Might be trying a bit too hard to be, giving a good message, but I enjoyed it. And I think
Okay, that sounds like
for a little
fun
parable,
and for children as well.
yes,
The
I think
boy,
so.
the mole, the horse and the fox. The boy, the horse, the mole and the fox.
Yes, it's mole, fox, and horse. I'm not sure how
Yes.
you can remember
I'm
that, but I
sure that if
do.
people can remember half of those animals, they can find the movie
Yes.
on Apple
Apple TV
TV
right now. Yes.
and then right up there with The Blitz, which is the kind of movie that I think I would like to watch, even though it's not very Christmassy. But yeah, it's Second World War movies.
Yeah.
But I will look to those parallels between that and the Christmas story, because we don't think about those, the kind of dangers that Mary and Joseph would have had,
No,
or
we think.
concerns. Yeah.
I mean, we know of the Holy Innocents. We know what happened to them, but
Yeah.
I try to imagine the panic
Yeah, no,
that
it's,
Mary and Joseph
yeah.
must have experienced, and then living in a different country for so
And
long,
an occupied
and
country also with the Roman soldiers. Okay, the Blitz and the boy, the boy,
okay,
the
it's the
horse, the
boy.
fox and the mole and the fox.
I think if you say the boy and the mole, you'll get
You'll get it. Okay, just remember the
it.
boy and the mole. All right, sister, Merry Christmas. Happy end of Advent and Merry Christmas season to you and your sisters, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, and to all of you and all our listeners as well. Thank you so much.
Sister Marie Paul is with the Congregation of the Daughters of St. Paul, and you can read her blog at windowstothesoul.wordpress.com. Here now is Ali Aliyah with her single, written with Father Mike Schmitz, Face to Face. I'm Deacon Pedro. This is our 2024 Christmas edition of the Salt and Light Hour. And that was Ali Aliyah with her single, Face to Face. We first met Ali Aliyah in October 2018. She had just released her album, The Labyrinth, as a follow-up to her 2015 album, Jealous Love. Ali is a graduate of Franciscan University and worked for Father Mike Schmitz for 2 years in Duluth, Minnesota. In 2017, after walking the Camino, Ali started doing music full-time and in 2019, independently. Since then, when she's not leading worship or doing speaking engagements or touring, she is creating music and living fully alive, marveling at the powerful gift of music. And it is so good to welcome Ali Aliyah to our Christmas special. You've been sitting here listening to the program. I'm curious, Ali, and maybe it's because I'm thinking when it's, you know, a Wisconsin, and it's like, I always think of Wisconsin, I think it's winter all the time. Of course it isn't. Yes. But what was Christmas like growing up for you?
Mm-hmm. You know, some of my like favorite memories are the amount of snow that we've gotten sometimes, like the, I don't know if it is a real memory or if it's just like, because I was so small, I imagined like,
right,
being so much deeper. But I remember looking out the window and seeing like just this giant pile of snow and like, oh, I want to go jump in that. And as I got older, we have horses, and like there were times when before school I'd have to wake up early, I'd get out of bed and I'd put on the snowsuit, and I couldn't go down like outside the normal way that I would get out to go feed the horses, because that was through the basement. But the snow was up to the door top, like crazy amount. And that was because it was like, you know, the wind blew all the snow right there in this little hill in the basement. But so we would have to like go upstairs and like jump off of the porch and like land in the snow and like trudge through the snow to go feed the horses.
That sounds like fun.
It was. Yeah, it was an adventure.
That sounds like fun. So this idea. So earlier when we spoke at the beginning of the show, you were telling us about solstice. And see, I grew up in Latin America, in Panama. And so, I mean, we're lucky. I mean, most of the year, the days are, you know, 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of darkness. And when I moved to Canada is when I really, a lot of these ideas of darkness and light and Advent really started making more sense. But for you, you grew up with that. I mean, it's very, very prominent, I guess, that December 21st, solstice, is the shortest day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you have 6 hours of light or 8 hours at the most of light.
Yeah.
What was that look like growing up for you? I mean, I guess it was normal, right?
Yeah. I guess it was normal, but it definitely, I think even, I think I'm not alone in this, that everyone, even who grew up in this kind of climate and the darkness of winter, it can get long and hard, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just want some sunshine. But that's going back to solstice, like that's the beauty of like resonating with that reality of light and darkness and how Jesus comes to save us from that darkness, but also like he can baptize the darkness in a way. Like that, like Advent, I feel like is this beautiful time to kind of enter into that darkness in order to prepare for him to come and save us, you know. And I don't mean darkness in like the sense of evil, of course,
Yeah, of course.
but just like like the candlelight, the Advent wreath, you know, like there's beauty in that that waiting period for him to come and bring us into the fullness of light.
Yeah, that's a beautiful concept that I hadn't really thought about in terms of baptizing the darkness. That is at first getting, taking more and more because it's getting darker and darker. But then, and I'm very aware, even though like come February, it's like I'm done. But already in February, we have so much more light than we had in December. And so it literally is like light at the end of the tunnel.
Definitely.
Okay, so tell us about Face to Face. So you collaborated with your good friend Mike Schmitz on this Advent series. So he was doing an Advent series for Ascension Press and needed a song.
That's right. Yeah. So at camp this year, so every year I sing for a youth camp that Father Mike puts on in the Diocese of Duluth. And at camp this year, I was just like walking down to my cabin and he came up to me and he said, "Hey, I'm doing this Advent series with Ascension and we'd love a song to go along with it. Would you take a crack at it?" And I said, "Yeah, of course." So he sent me some of the reflections that he was planning on doing this Advent series, and I reflected on that. And I was also in the process of getting married, actually. So it was a very busy season of life, and So my now husband said at the time, because I was so busy and I was like, I don't know, like when to like sit down and actually like reflect on this enough to let the inspiration flow for the song. My fiance at the time said, why don't you think about it in light of like waiting for our wedding? Like Advent is this time to wait for this beautiful, you know, time for the Lord to come. So that was a cool reflection that I sat with, as well as all of the reflections that Father Mike gave. And then eventually, the song just kind of came really, it just like all flowed at once, which was really beautiful. Like, I think, like, again, going back to Advent, this time of waiting and preparation, as I was writing this song, it was the preparation that took the longest. And, like when I actually like sat down to write it, it just flowed really naturally. So I see a parallel with, you know, Advent and Christmas there.
Okay, wow, totally. Congratulations on the marriage. I didn't know.
Thank you.
How fun. And I'm so glad I asked because there were some of the lyrics here that I was like, cheek to cheek under the brightest star that now has a whole other meaning. But I wanted to ask you about fear to fiat because again, we talk about fiat a lot and we also talk about fear a lot. But of course, those two can be related as we let go of our fears when we say yes to God.
So these lines that you're picking out, I think they're so beautiful. Father Mike actually, they're very present in his reflections for this series. So the fear to fiat line, is just talking about like stepping out from behind the things that hold us back from coming face to face with the Lord, right? So the whole series is, what if Christmas Day you woke up and you saw the Lord face to face? Like, because at the end of our lives, we're all going to see him face to face and we're going to just be ourselves before him. And how do we prepare for that? How do we get ready for that? So it's kind of a new take on Advent in a way, where you just like, what if on Christmas morning I was standing before the Lord face to face? What would I need to do to get ready in my heart, just be who I am before him and let him love me and see me fully? So yeah, the cheek to cheek under the brightest star, it goes along with our own relationship with the Lord, but also like Christmas, that image of Our Lady and Joseph holding baby Jesus cheek to cheek under the brightest star, that drew all of the wise men and the shepherds to honor him. Yeah, I think those are just really beautiful moments to reflect on, as well as how do I get ready to stand before the Lord face to face?
They are absolutely, and I love what I love about the seasons of the church. The liturgical season is not like we can only do that during Advent. We're supposed to
Right,
be
yeah.
doing that all the time. I mean, we meet the Lord at the Eucharist, in the Eucharist, anytime in the Eucharist. But the
Absolutely.
church gives us the gift of Advent to remind us that this is what we should be doing all the time. You
Yeah,
know,
exactly.
yeah. What a beautiful concept of, you know, thinking of Advent that way. Tell us the story about meeting the violin player, Luciano Pavan, that ended up being featured in your arrangement of Carol of the Bells.
So I had this arrangement of Carol of the Bells that I actually performed with some friends at a Christmas concert years ago. And it's always been on my radar to record. And I was on a family vacation with my parents, and we were in Mexico and we went to this restaurant, and there was this violinist playing at this restaurant, and he was incredible. Just the pure talent, so good. So I had to go up to him after I was done eating and say, "Oh my goodness, you're so good. Tell me about yourself."
That's funny.
And so we chatted a little bit, and I asked him, like, would you be willing to collaborate in the future on something? And he was up for it. So that was really exciting. And I was like, okay, this is great. I like Carol of the Bells would be so cool to have him throw some violin on there. So I recorded and sent him what we had, and he sent back just this incredible epic strings part for this beautiful hymn. So I'm really excited about it.
It is, and I love that that arrangement. I mean, of course, I heard it, and I was like, "This is not Carol of the Bells." I couldn't quite hear. I mean, of course, after hearing it for a bit, I could hear it. But you're right, the violin, and maybe haunting is not the right word to use, but yeah. And of course, we're going to end the program with Carol of the Bells. So before we go, I'm just going to let people know because I'm going to get Ali to introduce the song Carol of the Bells, and she can tell us why she wanted to. Why she wanted to arrange that specific Christmas song. But before that, thank you for being with us today, Ali. It's been so good to spend a little bit of time, get to know you a little better today, and to celebrate Christmas with you today in a way.
Absolutely. It's my honor. Thank you so much for having me.
So you can learn more about Ali Aaliyah at her website, ali-aaliyah.com. And Aaliyah is spelled Aaliyah, Aaliyah, Aaliyah. But I'm going to put that link on our site, slmedia.org/podcast, so you can find it easily. And then when you go to Ali's website, that's where you can purchase her music and book her for your next event. And so, Ali, do you want to introduce Carol of the Bells?
Absolutely, yes. So yeah, this arrangement of Carol of the Bells, I have always been enamored with, again, the season of Advent, but also like the music of Advent, like ancient hymns like "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel" and "Let All Mortal Flesh." They're in this minor key, right? And it's a little bit, like you said, haunting and spooky, but in a beautiful way that, again, like entering into like the theme of the darkness, waiting for the light to come in. And so this rendition of Carol of the Bells kind of leans into that same vibe, right? Of like it's a little bit haunting. And then, yeah, it just kind of explodes and erupts in this like joyous, but also still like musical tension. I just think it's really cool. And especially what Luciano added to the piece is really incredible. So I'm so excited to share it with everyone. I hope you all enjoy it. So here is Carol of the Bells featuring Luciano Pavan.
we're listening to Ali Aliyah with her rendition of Carol of the Bells featuring Argentinian violinist Luciano Pavan. And that will take us to the end of our Christmas special this year. Today, our feature artist was Ali Aliyah. You can check her out at her website, ali-aliyah.com. I was also joined today by our contributors, Jillian Cantor, Mark Matthews, and Sister Marie Paul Curley. The Salt and Light Hour is a ministry of Salt and Light Catholic Media Foundation. You can learn all about us and all we do and support our ministry at slmedia.org. Let's pray that everyone, every single person on earth, young and old, meek and bold, receives all the graces that come with the newborn Christ, and that they in turn bring good cheer to everyone else. Let's raise the sound of the newborn Christ like the bells do on Christmas Day. Thank you for being with us today. Be sure to tune in next week for our end of year special featuring new Catholic contemporary songs of 2024. I'm Deacon Pedro, and this has been our 2024 Salt and Light Hour Christmas special, Christ is Born. Merry Christmas.